I'm done. It's on. Bring it, as I say. I ain't hiding. You know? And if you're a part of my family, I will love you violently. If you infiltrate and try to hurt my family, I will murder you violently.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
There is something about the way she conjures the ancestors. She dances when she walks like she's from the Congo. Pure. Convo like Asada Shakur says, brothers don't understand the science behind her self-reliance. She has a tattoo of Noble Drew on her neck and a tattoo of Marcus Garvey on her breast and says you've got to have the presence of Martin Delaney if you ever hope to have a future in getting past her Malcolm X. She is smooth as the Hennessy she's sipping as we listen to Horace Silver playing our third game of chess, and I can't help but stare into the natural texture of her hair as she compares George Padmore with C.L.R. James. And from there, she discusses Rodney's, how Europe underdeveloped Africa, and compares that to Kwame Nkrumah's neocolonialism, the last stage of imperialism. And as her lips move, I get lost in her rhythm. And as her thoughts move, I get lost in her wisdom. I love it when she sings CCY2 to the children. I love it when we go on vacations and she puts that homemade sign on the door that says, do not disturb. Nation building. She is Harriet Tubman, loving her people with a passion, fashion like that last chapter in Carter G. Woodson's Miseducation of the Negro. We go conjure the ancestors after every poetry reading, breathing life into the souls that surround us like New Orleans, constantly calling me back. I bathe her in compliments. I wrap her confidence around my waist. I taste her ancestors' DNA every night because there's something spiritual about swallowing the same fluids that once coursed to the physical forms of her predecessor slaves and tribes. And yo, you might think you know me, but if you ain't never seen me with her, then you ain't never seen me alive. I said, you might think you know me, but if you ain't never seen me with her, then you ain't never seen me alive, because she goes from J.A. Rogers to Abubakar while her heart beats the rhythm of the Haitian Revolution and she dances to it, singing the songs of the Cimarron colonies of San Salvador. And as she moves, there's something about the way she conjures the ancestors. There's something about the way she conjures my soul by day and by night. There is something about the way that she has conjured me back from the dead. There is something about the way that she conjures me continuously back to life.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Stop! Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Make them listen to me before it's too late!
Thank you.
why give an interview when you can leave a warning, you know? But it's just not, I'm just not a, I'm not fair game. I'm not a soft target. It's over. There's a new sheriff in town. And he has an army of assassins. Oh, we must speak of the Vatican assassins, yes. I don't read anything after it comes out because I will not waste my precious time on such ridiculous nonsense. But I understand, according to you, that there was a lot of curiosity about the Vatican assassin. And I'm like, guys, it's right there in the thing. Duh, we work for the Pope. We murder people. We're Vatican assassins. How complicated can it be?
Oh, my gosh.
What they're not ready for is guys like you and I and Nails and all the other gnarly gnarlingtons in my life that we are high priest Vatican assassin warlocks. You must do so violently. And the reason you must hate violently is because, and you have to hate everybody that's not in your family, because they're there to destroy your family. And they will come at you in all forms and shapes. And therefore, there's nothing in the middle. I don't live in the middle anymore. That's where you get slaughtered. That's where you get embarrassed in front of the prom queen. And it's just not an option. So, you know, within that is tremendous focus and tremendous clarity and tremendous peace. Because you have absolute and total resolve about your decisions. If you love with violence and you hate with violence, there's nothing that can be questioned. And people say, oh, you know, you've got to work through your resentments. Yeah, no, I'm going to hang on to them, and they're going to fuel my attack. And they're going to fuel the battle cry of my deadly and dangerous secret and silent soldiers. Because they're all around you. Anyway, thought you were just messing with one dude. Sorry. Winning. Tried to judge me. He said I was too excited. The only thing I got excited about was catching the last drop of blood just before his beheaded silly dome made contact with my beautiful wooden floor in my home in front of my children. Thank you. chest. Next one goes in your mouth. No, you won't get high. It's all good. It's all good, guys. Quit panicking. Quit panicking. No panic, no judgment.
My God.
The News of the World, Wednesday, February 25th. Once again, Columbia's correspondents in world capitals and in the fighting zones in the Western Pacific are ready to give you the latest news direct by shortwave radio. And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to Los Angeles and the report of Byron Palmer.
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning. The anti-aircraft guns began barking during a blackout ordered by the 4th Interceptor Command at 2:25 a.m.
You better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day. It's a sign, there's no doubt, of the trouble that's about. So I say, my friends, you'd better start to pray.
The unidentified object, which some sources thought might be a blimp, moved slowly down the Pacific coast from Santa Monica and disappeared south of Long Beach. Army officials declined to comment on the possibility that the object might have been a blimp. However, it required nearly 30 minutes to travel some 25 miles, far slower than an airplane.
They're a terrifying sight as they fly on day and night. It's a warning that we'd better mend our way. Better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day.
Watchers on the rooftop of the Columbia Broadcasting Building in the heart of Hollywood could plainly see the flashes of guns and searchlights sweeping the skies in a wide arc along the coastal area. Concussion of the shells could be felt in downtown Los Angeles, 15 miles away. U.S. Army planes quickly took to the dark skies, but whether they contacted the object has not been announced. Army officials say they will not comment until they receive a full report of the action. Although some watchers say they saw airplanes in the air, semi-official sources say they probably were the U.S. Army's pursuit. Several observers say they saw one or more planes spotlighted by 20 or 30 searchlights. The object moved southward, presumably over Huntington Park at the western edge of Los Angeles, and on southward to about Long Beach on the coast. By 3:30 a.m., observers said the object appeared to be over the south of Long Beach. Searchlights closely followed the object down the coast and kept it centered in their glare. Shells frequently could be seen bursting near the object, but none appeared to hit it. The shooting stopped about 3:30 a.m. The shooting brought warfare to the front door of this city of 1.25 million population for the first time since December 7th. Already, it was alert to the presence off the Southern California coast of a Japanese submarine which had pumped 25 shells into an oil field north of Santa Barbara Monday evening. Because of the presence of the submarine, a three-hour alert was ordered at dusk last night, and civilian authorities stood at their posts while the Army and Navy continued their search for the submersible. The evening alert ended at 10:23 p.m., but another was sounded at 2:22 a.m., and the blackout followed within 3 minutes. It covered Los Angeles County from Santa Monica to Pomona. At 2:27, all Southern California radio stations were ordered off the air, except those in San Diego.
Many people think the saucers might be someone's foolish dream, or maybe they were sent down here from Mars. If you just stop and think, you'd realize just what it means. They're more than atom bombs or falling stars. And though the war may be true, there's unrest and trouble brewing, and those flying saucers may be just a sign that if peace doesn't come, it will be the end of some. So repent today, you're running out of time.
Approximately 20 minutes after the firing died down, the ship returned and headed westward from Long Beach toward Santa Monica. The guns went into action again, hurling round after round of shells at the object. The second barrage appeared to be closer to downtown Los Angeles, since watchers could hear the concussion of the guns more clearly and the flash of bursting shells was brighter. Then the ship disappeared for the second time over the ocean.
When you see a saucer fly like a comet through the sky, you should realize the price you'll have to pay. You'd better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day.
This is the seventh batch of Ministry of Defense UFO files to be released, and it's the largest amount so far. We've got 35 files, and several of those contain hundreds of pages, so in all, just this batch alone has 8,500 pages for people to wade through. The Rendlesham Forest incident is Britain's most famous and, I think, compelling UFO sighting. This was December 1980, and a UFO actually landed near the twin bases of Bentwaters and Woodbridge in Suffolk. The witnesses included lots of military personnel, including the deputy base commander, and the Defence Intelligence staff assessed radiation levels at the landing site as significantly higher than background. One of the really interesting stories is that files, defence intelligence staff files, on Britain's most famous UFO case, the Rendlesham Forest incident, have been destroyed for some reason. So conspiracy theorists will be up in arms about this. I think these files show, whatever you think about UFOs, this is a mystery that isn't going to go away, and this is a mystery which clearly enjoyed and still enjoys huge public interest.
Well, speaking of bombs, what is it that makes America the world's greatest nuclear power? And what is it that will make it possible for us to spend $20,000 million of our taxpayers' money to put some idiot on the moon? Well, it was the great, enormous superiority of American technology, of course, as provided by our great American scientists, such as Dr. Werner von Braun. Gather round while I sing you of Werner von Braun, a man whose allegiance is ruled by expedience. Call him a Nazi, he won't even frown. Nazi schmatzi, says Werner von Braun. Don't say that he's hypocritical, say rather that he's apolitical. Once the rockets are up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department, says Werner von Braun. Some have harsh words for this man of renown, but some think our attitude should be one of gratitude, like the widows and cripples in old London town, who owe their large pensions to Werner von Braun. You too may be a big hero, once you've learned to count backwards to zero. In German or English, I know how to count down. And I'm learning Chinese, says Werner von Braun.
Listen to me. Please listen. If you don't, if you won't, if you fail to understand, then the same incredible terror that's menacing me will strike at you!
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Ordered all the fruits and all the vegetables and grains. I kept them for myself, but made a price that you could pay. And from this early pattern, a structure to become. And that's about the only thing that governments have done. I hired you to work for me so you could buy my food. Created an economy that barely gave a clue. Then you did all the labor, but I got all the funds. And that's about the only thing that governments have done. I built a giant fortress where my family could reside. I filled your workers up with myths and patriotic pride. I filled my life with luxury and politics and fun. And that's about the only thing the governments have done. I sent the children off to schools to be taught and trained in the roles that benefit and keep the system maintained. I kept them from their history and slowly made them dumb. And that's about the only thing the governments have done.
Colonel Gaddafi's forces have begun a fierce fight back to try to retake towns lost to anti-government protesters. There's been fighting close to the capital, Tripoli, while in the east of the country there have been battles between pro-Gaddafi forces and rebels. In the town of Brega, there was fighting at an oil installation and the town's airfield, as the rebels held off an attempt by the regime to retake it. Colonel Gaddafi has coupled his military offensive with the propaganda one. Concerned about possible foreign intervention, he told a news conference that if America or NATO got involved, thousands of Libyans would die. He was, he said, ready to hand out weapons to 2 or 3 million people to defend the country. It seems he may find plenty of recruits here, as thousands of people gathered to chant their support for the dictator in Tripoli. As debate over a Western-imposed no-fly zone against Libya's air force continues, the evacuation of foreign nationals goes on. The British government has chartered planes to help get trapped Egyptians out, while these people managed to escape by ship. The UN estimates 75,000 people have fled the country since the unrest began, with camps filled with desperate people springing up on the border with Tunisia.
I launched a million wars in the name of private greed. Killed off all the natives from the mountains to the sea. I murdered them with slavery and smallpox and guns. And that's about the only thing that governments have done. I built with brick a place for those who wouldn't play my game. Who refused to fight my wars for me or papers to my name. I built a giant prison wall so people couldn't run. And that's about the only thing that governments have done. Gave some of you back some freedom with my silly Bill of Rights. Used all the proper language so you wouldn't rise to fight. I fooled you all with imagery, now look what I've become. And that's about the only thing that governments have done. Yes, I fought long and hard to secure my place on top. With bombs and tanks and crack cocaine and violence from the cops. I kept you apathetic and this is how I've won. And that's about the only thing that governments have done. Yeah, that's about the only thing that governments have done.
Condemnation for an attack on American forces in Germany. A lone gunman opening fire on a bus containing US Air Force personnel at Frankfurt Airport. Two airmen killed in the shooting outside Terminal 2, two others wounded. All of them based at Lakenheath Airfield in Suffolk, home to the US's 48th Fighter Wing. President Barack Obama expressing his horror.
I'm saddened and I am outraged by this attack that took the lives of two Americans and wounded two others. I think the American people are united in expressing our gratitude for the service of those who were lost. Michelle and I have their family and their friends in our thoughts and prayers, and we are praying for a speedy recovery for those who were injured. I want everybody to understand that we will spare no effort in learning how this outrageous act took place and in working with German authorities to ensure that all of the perpetrators are brought to justice.
The U.S. has reduced its forces in Germany over the last decade, but still has some 50,000 troops stationed there.
Es gab heute einen Zwischenfall, bei dem zwei
German Chancellor Angela Merkel said her sympathies were with the victims and their families and pledged that Germany would do everything in its power to investigate this terrible incident. The gunman, identified as being from Kosovo, was taken into custody.
Building 7, I often hear about. No plane hit Building 7. Why did Building 7 come down? What do you tell people?
What is Building 7?
Or what, was it Building 5 or the building that wasn't hit by the plane? Building 7.
I have no idea. I've never heard that.
There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
I'm not a monster. I'm not a monster. Release the evil.
Long before the advent of modern democratic republics, the world was ruled by priests, kings, and in some cases, priest-kings. To our ancestors in the ancient world, government had a religious ritual significance. It was the pharaoh of Egypt who literally made the sun rise and set each day, or so they believed. The Aztecs thought that the human sacrifices performed by the priesthood were staving off the world's inevitable destruction. In Europe, the divine right of kings dictated that the monarch was literally the connection between the body politic and God in heaven, and that through his or her actions, God's will was represented. Even as the Age of Enlightenment caused philosophical reason to trump superstition, bringing constitutional monarchy and eventually representative government, these beliefs and traditions simply became sublimated and took on new forms. The philosophers of the day may no longer have professed a belief in magic, but it was never lost on those who pilot the ship of state. Belief in the spiritual power of political structures instead became the purview of those who study the occult. Occult is merely a word that means that which is hidden, that which goes unnoticed by the average man. It is no secret that many of the most powerful men and women throughout the last several hundred years of history have been members of secret societies that continue these occult traditions, and had blood lineages that can be traced back to the royal families of Europe. Not all of them are consciously aware of the traditions that they are actively continuing, but that is nonetheless what they are doing. What we mean specifically by ritual magic is to cause change to occur in conformity with the will, through means that are beyond the merely physical. Ritual magic is all about creating artificial mental constructs and then forcing them to have an impact on reality by infusing belief and spiritual energy into them. The constructs then take on a life of their own and reality begins to mirror them. This is called, quote, sympathetic magic, in which the desired outcome of the ritual is mimicked in some way, as is the case with a voodoo doll. In this process, written documents and diagrams become part of the software that governs how the program of the magic ritual is supposed to work. A good example of how this works can be found in Ezekiel chapter 4, where God instructs the prophet to draw a map of Jerusalem on a tile and then act upon it in various ways in order to cause certain things to happen to the real Jerusalem. Each day that he lay on his side during the ritual resulted in an equivalent number of years of punishment for the profligate kingdoms of Judah and Israel. To this day, legal, political, and financial systems, as well as the institutions that govern them, are all made up of imaginary ideas that we as a society make real by playing along. Indeed, the word reality comes from the root word real, which means royal, because historically the monarch defined truth within his own realm. Reality was whatever the king or queen said it was. Even in modern times, with our modern secular government, the functions of government and the exercise of sovereignty are largely ritual practices that get their power from their spiritual significance in the minds of men. Whether they know it or not, people in government and other powerful institutions are actually practicing ritual magic. Kingship and sovereignty, worship and priesthood, money and laws governing commerce can all be traced back to the beginnings of civilization in Mesopotamia. The Sumerians and Babylonians were very clear in their records, stating that these institutions were handed down to them directly by their gods, and that legal contracts were believed to have spiritual power. Indeed, most religious rituals in the ancient world, as in the modern practice of ritual magic, involve the forming of a contract or covenant between the deity and the priesthood. In ancient times, the priests made deals with the gods and spirits on behalf of the entire community. A deity whose symbolism was associated with the very idea of a divine contract was Mithras, whose cult flourished in Rome from the 1st to 4th centuries AD, but was based on the older tradition of Persian Zoroastrianism. Mithras was known as the, quote, god of contracts, and was attributed with having invented the legal system. People would invoke him as a witness when drawing up a contract of any sort between two parties, and it was believed that he would punish severely all those who broke their contracts. These deals would be sealed with a handshake, which, according to mythology, was another invention of Mithras, first taught by him to mankind when he was inducting priests into his cult. In these rites, the initiates were made to shake the hand of Mithras, usually played in the ritual by another cult member, as a seal of the pact between the inductee and his new teacher, referred to in the ritual by the nickname the Friend. Many aspects of this ritual were absorbed into the rites of Freemasonry. A standard belief among those who practice ritual magic is that the spirit world is subject unto man, and commanded by God to do the bidding of qualified priests and magicians, as are all the creatures of earth. This stems from Genesis 1:28, quote, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Furthermore, traditions based on both biblical and extra-biblical lore tell of the angels that fell from heaven being imprisoned in the earth, and that they can be called upon by men when needed. Quranic tradition states that Satan and the fallen angels rebelled because God tried to make them bow down to Adam, and they refused. After being defeated in the war in heaven, many occult practitioners believe that the spirits were bound with a duty to serve man. Islamic legends of King Solomon enslaving the demon Asmodeus for help building the temple derive from this belief. Commonly, it is thought that you can control a god, demon, or spirit of any sort if you know and can pronounce its true name. When you call upon them thusly, they are compelled to answer. As Robert Graves writes in The White Goddess, quote, in ancient times, once a god's secret name had been discovered, the enemies of his people could do destructive magic against them with it. The Romans made a regular practice of discovering the secret names of enemy gods and summoning them to Rome with seductive promises, a process technically known as Elisio. Naturally, the Romans, like the Jews, hid the secret name of their own guardian deity with extraordinary care. It is also possible to graft a new name onto the spirit, supposedly, and oblige it to answer to this substitute name instead. While the dominion of the children of Adam over the fallen angels is based on a covenant supposedly made in Adam's time, it is customary for those, quote, trafficking with spirits to form further agreements with them, promising them rewards in exchange for their services. But in addition to forming contracts with existing entities in the spirit world, there are many legends dealing with the artificial creation of servants through spiritual means. Just as God created Adam from clay and breathed into him the breath of life, in the Jewish mystic tradition of the golem, human priests can do the same. However, in this case, the golem is more of a robot, kind of mindless. All it knows how to do is what the priest programmed it to do. The golem is animated when the word Emet, which means life, is written upon its forehead, and deactivated when the E is erased to leave the word Met, meaning death. Golems can be made of any inanimate material, even dead bodies. The art of reanimating a corpse through magic is specifically called necromancy. The Frankenstein story is based on a myth about a Jewish doctor who created a golem out of various human body parts stitched together. These golem legends date to the medieval period. However, the Old Testament talks about rogue Levite priests who created, quote, teraphim, which were human heads that were animated through magic and used for oracular purposes. Supposedly, the teraph was animated when a scrap of parchment containing magic words was placed inside of its mouth. Later on, medieval alchemists created the concept of the homunculus. The word literally means little man, and using the alchemical process, you could allegedly create one that would actually germinate as a fetus and then grow into a baby right there in your flask. From that point on, the homunculus is bound as your servant and can assist you in the rest of your alchemical works, including the creation of gold. The homunculus plays a key role in the story of Faust, the character who made a pact with the devil in exchange for the service of the demon Mephistopheles in his alchemical quest for riches and wisdom. The most modern incarnation of this concept is that of the, quote, servitor in chaos magic, an occult tradition with its origin in the 20th century. This is basically very similar to the concept of the imaginary friend. It's a fictional person that you create, usually just by making up a name, drawing a hieroglyph to represent it, and drafting a description of its purpose. You then infuse spiritual power into it through ritual, and it becomes animated, but remains invisible. However, its influence can allegedly be felt in your life, and it can be assigned any task desired, just like a demon. Although servitors seem like a modern invention, it appears that our ancestors understood the concept as well. It is likely that most of the demons mentioned in grimoires and spellbooks are largely concocted by the author, although their names and descriptions may be based on others already known to exist at the time. And the ancient world was rife with compound gods that were combinations of deities from different cultures. These were usually created when one kingdom usurped another, and then amalgamated the pantheon of the defeated nation into their own. This essentially resulted in the creation of new gods that served the new master by combining the attributes of the old gods, and thus they were servitors. Instead of just serving a single magician, they were serving an entire priesthood, and indeed an entire community. A servitor that serves a collective and not just an individual is called, in modern parlance, an egregore, a group thought form animated through magic. Religions, governments, and businesses can all make use of egregores, and can be thought of as egregores in themselves as well. In fact, the modern concept of the corporation is very much like a homunculus, a servitor, a golem, or an egregore. And indeed, governments are just corporations.
You see, everyone! They're here already! You're next!
Thank you.
synchronistic path, the path of gratitude, love, and divine wisdom. This actually is a path that you can only find this state of mind by going within yourself, because what we realize is that there are all these beautiful, loving, caring, nurturing beings all around us, all the time. No one's jumping you in the grocery store, nobody's running you down with their car, they will pick you up if you stumble. Humans are inherently good. They have had to use all of this mind control to condition humans to kill one another. Prior to this, when you went to warfare, the men would shoot away and shoot above because they did not want to kill. This EA, Electronic Arts, EA, the secret name of Enki, put out a game named Rage, which is all about Apophis crashing into planet Earth causing zombies, so you have to get in your little CGI world and kill all of these beings in their war training video games. And EA, Electronic Arts Games, is being bought out by Walt Disney. I mean, you can just look at it. It's right there. It's all written in stone, and they don't lie. They put it right before you all the time. We're capturing your imagination. We're making new memories. We're programming your mind. And so what we need to recognize, first of all, is that civilization is not the outcome of human endeavor. It is not the outcome of all of us collectively deciding what the world shall be and what directions it will go. It is the manifestation of a minor few, about 5%, who have that kill shot within them to take the leaps and bounds of programming the rest of society through their magic and manipulation, through their illuminations, and to create the society that we are existing in. They are the culture creators. We are the poor culture that are dealing with it. And so the hardest part for someone like myself and you that are bringing the truth to the public, as weird as it is, oh my God, you know, vaccinations will kill you, doctors are killing you, the whole list of contrivances, don't drink the fluoride, and all the things that we could scream and cry about, chemtrails over our heads, ionosphere heaters causing earthquakes and floods, oh my. We also have to know and understand and share with the rest of the public that this is a show, it's a facade, and that when you actually look around at humanity, you find loving, caring beings. You find people that have no will to kill, have no will to take the power and the domination that the psychopathic elite do. Just being conformed into a mentality through acts of prestidigitation, stage performance magic, and contracts and talismans. Now, contracts and talismans are the two basic forms of Egyptian magic. Once you start to look into that, you see that money and corporations are nothing but magic. It's a pantacle, the money. It's a spell. It has no foundation. It's all a belief system, along with corporations, which are simply a contract. And a contract is merely a magical communication with the ether to say that we exist. and now we've manifested these golems, these immortal beings that have all the rights and privileges of a man and a woman. And yet here we are with corporations and all of their signs and sigils all around the globe, and we're trying to believe, once you find out that they're all Masons at the core, that this is the outcome of human endeavor. It's not. So the answers lie in our recognition of this, that this is not we. We are not this team, and we're actually under the influence and should be kind of angry, but you can move through your stages of grief. And you take it upon yourself to start to realize that the other humans are your only currency. They are your hope and your energy. And so with the other humans in mind, you work on your own control dramas. And you find the ways that you have been psychically sucking energy off of everyone else. And you learn how to withhold that and instead project your gratitude, love, and everything you've got to them so that they can raise their vibrations. So we have been conditioned to psychically suck everyone's souls because we no longer have beauty in our existence. And beauty comes from seeing two lovers meet, to seeing babies with puppies, you know, the ones, things that bring tears and goosebumps to your body. We've forgotten all about that in this Venusville, in our Venus-Lucifer society. Then have to recondition ourselves to love one another, right? That's the hard part, because the mind pattern programming is telling you, fear, fear, these evil humans, they're going to eat you, right? And this is not the truth. Once you develop that within your soul, you'll find synchronicity start to unfold before you, and you will start to become part of a destiny, and your true soul's purpose will start to be fulfilled instead of this manipulated purpose. Money came in and said, we are going to take away your divine gratitude, because divine gratitude comes when you have a miraculous event that gives you the deer that walks before your spear, or in modern terms, the friend that comes and shares what you need. We have now seceded the idea of gratitude with money, saying, I deserve this. I have earned this pantacle, and therefore I can have this. I want, I want. And it's this desire, pride, and yearning for this false reality that has put the stumbling block into humanity. People say that the love of money is evil. I see money as evil. Anything that you can pay someone to do an evil deed with has sinister origins. But even outside of that concept, money takes away your very gratitude. Spoke with the Mayans at the pyramids. When I went to their all-night ritual, they showed us that gratitude was the solution. This was their answer. They brought together a tribe of nations, a collection of everyone. We had everybody from every continent, and yet none of us had planned that. And we show up at the meeting, and they say, oh my God, our prophecies were fulfilled, and we perform this ritual to the ancestors in gratitude to the earth and love and nature. But of course, just prior to us showing up, George W. Bush had shown up. And they told us many tales of the dark black dragon that flew over the skies when George Bush was there. And when we finished the ritual, the sun did not rise. It went all night long, but the morning was completely fog-covered, and the sun couldn't be seen until 1 in the afternoon or later. And they felt this was a complete foreboding sign. And they actually were selling off their property around the Lake Adalon, which is a bottomless lake that houses a sea monster, to the gringos to say, here, you take our this land, it's all going to be underwater. They're certain that there's major catastrophes on our way. But they were also as certain that if we as a people gathered together in ideas of gratitude and ceremony, in any way, shape, or form, we could lessen the vibrational shift that we're going through and bring about a better tomorrow through our very soul potentials. That's it, the crystallization of our culture, if you will. And no one believes it's possible. They don't believe that humans could be good and that if there weren't these rigid control centers that we would all tear one another apart. But I challenge everyone and anyone to try it. And it's hard if you have no love of your fellow man. If you take a pilgrimage and you just take a walk across the world, across the U.S., wherever you're at, and you take this pilgrimage and you watch as it unfolds before you. And then you start to recognize the synchronistic beauty of life. Then you can see that this experience is real. Otherwise, synchronicity is so personal that you can't prove it to another human without them going out and seeing it for themselves.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Gratitude. Not getting more, giving more gratitude. This week, let me express my utmost and sincere gratitude to the following. Ben Johnson, Paragon Radio and KKFI, for the platform. To my creator, my wife and my children, for the freedom to express myself through media. To my brother Josh, for his assistance with the new website, and from who I get much of my technical assistance. I would also like to thank the following people who made Suicide Number 164, The Battle of LA, possible. Charlie Sheen, Alex Jones, Mike Tyson, Snoop Dogg, Talam Acey, G. Edward Griffin, Ollie G., Benny Goodman, the Buchanan Brothers, Tom Lehrer, Ryan Harvey, Mancal Moeller, Donald Rumsfeld, Leslie Visser, Adam Sandler, Tracy R. Twyman, Freeman, Jaima James and Friends, and last but not least, thank all of you for listening. GoFindTheOthers.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.